Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Oh, pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help me say these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption song. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop us at time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand?
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was the beautiful voice of Chai T. Mathias, my guest today, also known affectionately as Chai T. She often performs inspirational music as a songwriter and a vocalist. And in addition, she's an author and inspirational speaker. I love that she says that her key message is your past does not dictate your future. Your pain is your platform. She inspires women to overcome anything they've experienced, and she has quite a story. Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. My guest today is Chai T. Mathias. Welcome, Chai. You're on the line.
Hey, how you doing, Brenda? Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
I'm doing great. And you know, such a perfect time of year, the beginning of the year, to talk about, endurance and overcoming the past. And my goodness, what a powerful story. You have a brand new book out called The Endurance Ride of Life, and I couldn't put it down. It was just powerful, I'll tell you that. Everyone needs to read this book. It certainly tells a story that's both truthful, your own story, which you're so brave to share it publicly, but also tells how, you know, shares how other people, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they're facing in life, that they too can move through it. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what brought you to the decision to tell this story?
Well, I had been experiencing what I call a cycle. I don't know if anybody knows about cycles, but a cycle of depression, a cycle of discouragement, a cycle of feeling stuck. And I was tired of going through the same thing every year, and no matter how many successes I had, there just seemed to be a sense of failure. There seemed to be a sense of not moving forward in the direction that I wanted to go in. And so a couple of years ago, I came to a place of just complete brokenness, and I just asked God, what is all of this about? Why can't I seem to move forward? Why can't I seem to get unstuck from this place? And when I finally just got still and I didn't do anything but just listen for his voice, I felt a strong, strong, strong leading to begin to just write and to tell my story. And that really is what forced me into doing this. It was just an act of being still, an act of obedience, and an act of courage all at the same time.
Mm. I just got goosebumps on that. I love that. Being still, listening to your higher power, listening to God, and telling your story. And, you know, I think it's so moving that, you know, that you realize that through your pain and through your brokenness is the bridge to your success and the bridge to help other people move through their life lessons. So let's just get right to it. Go back to the, you know, the painful experience that was actually in December. Not last month was just an anniversary month of sorts, but tell us what happened when you had a run for your life.
Yeah. Well, it was December 6, 1992, right here in my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. I had gone to bed that night watching Father of the Bride. I was on punishment that weekend, did something I wasn't supposed to do. I was a 14-year-old, so who knows what it was. But I just remember spending that weekend at home by myself, and I remember that Sunday night my mom came in with my little brother, who was about 11 months old at the time, and I remember telling her good night. But when I woke up, I didn't wake up to a Monday morning to get dressed to go to school. I woke up to my stepfather, who was standing over me with a blood-covered knife. Immediately, I became fearful. But I wasn't afraid of him until he said, "Shut up before I stick you like I stuck your mother." And immediately, I didn't understand what was going on. So I began to just comply with everything that he told me to do in fear. But even in the midst of that fear, I began to pray. In the midst of that fear, I began to pray. In the midst of that fear, as a 14-year-old child, I went back to the way that I was raised, and that was to pray. And I began to call on the name of Jesus with all that I had within me. And that night, I fought for my life. I ended up being stabbed 13 times, left for dead, beaten beyond recognition. But I am still here today.
Mm. And I may have first heard you speak a little bit about this at a Safe Connections event a couple of years ago. Weren't you on one of the panel discussions that they had?
Yes, I was.
Okay. So that's where I first heard your story and first met you, and then I ran into you again recently at a Lethea Owens event and was so happy to bump into you again because I knew you were, you know, destined for greatness. I mean, you have so much passion when you go on a stage, and we'll talk about your performance and your musical life now as well, but I want to go back to your story. So you ran and got help. You mm-hmm. miraculously survived that. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. And then later, was it in the hospital that was it a cousin who wrote you a poem?
Oh, my cousin, yes, my cousin Monique. Mm-hmm.
That yeah, was, sure, that was I actually, have a cousin Monique as well.
Yeah, that
shout
poem
out to
was
my
actually
cousin.
Written, yeah, that poem was
and
actually written after the divorce.
Okay.
No, yeah, that it's a combination. She wrote me that poem actually after I left my husband because he became violent. So that poem was written, but it was a combination of my childhood past experience plus my current situation. So that's where Disrespect It came from.
And so many women who have experienced sexual violence and violence as children in their homes grow up and repeat the cycle and somehow are in relationship with abusive men. How did you break that cycle of getting away from an abusive partner?
Well, I just finally had an epiphany that if I didn't leave the relationship, what happened to my mother could potentially happen to me. And I didn't want my daughters to grow up in that cycle. And so I had to make a conscious decision that I was either going to stay in it and stay miserable and slowly die, either a physical death or a mental and emotional death, and then my children grow up in that same pattern, or I was going to leave the relationship. So it was just a day that I said, enough is enough. And I always ask people, what is your enough? What is it going to take to bring you to a place to say, enough, I've had enough? And that was just my enough.
Mm-hmm. And so, and it does take several times. I know, I think the average is like 7 or 8 times for a woman to leave or, you know, to get to the place where she leaves for good. Had you made other attempts to leave, or was it just everything built up finally to one point where you said, this is it, I'm going?
Yeah, I had made several attempts to leave. And I know other women who have also done the same thing, but a lot of times, say, for instance, if you're in a marriage where your husband is the primary provider, breadwinner, and maybe you don't have the family support, or maybe you don't have a place of refuge to go, or you feel like you can't make it on your own if you have children, there are organizations out there that will act as a safety net to help support you. And I had to reach out and begin to look for those resources and support before I made the decision to go. So it wasn't that one day I just decided I was going to up and leave and then just figure it out from there. I began to do my homework. I began to research and plan my escape, so to speak. And so when the first couple of attempts did not work and the support wasn't there and the resources weren't there, I began to look for them on my own. And once I found those resources, the day that I decided to leave, I didn't look back. And everything was provided for. Everything was taken care of. And, again, it takes me back to that childhood experience to say, if he did it for me once, he'll do it for me again. He'll provide for me. He'll protect me. He'll keep me. And God has been that safety and that consistent help in time of trouble.
That is so true and so powerful. If he did it for me once, if God has protected you and or your higher power, whatever someone chooses to see as their higher power, their God, if you've survived other things, he will be there again for you. I love that. And that is something that has helped me after surviving a car crash and surviving various things in my life that, you know I can face anything because of that safety net is there. But I think you also touched on an important point about making a plan. And Safe Connections and other organizations have hotline numbers. We'll try to pull that up before the end of the program to share that number to call and talk with a counselor, someone who's trained on making a plan and then, you know, leaving, and whether it's stashing away money or stashing away clothing or, you know, knowing where you can go, the importance of having a plan, having a credit card in your own name. That's something I was talking to a family law attorney yesterday, the importance of having a credit card in your own name and the importance of having your own separate checking account or banking account. So many women don't do this, and it's just a basic, easy thing to do in your life to have that safety net ready for you. So in this time period, what kind of support were you getting, you know, through the various situations you were in? Because on the outside of this situation, you were being very successful in your own business, correct? You had your own business?
Outside of the marriage is what you're speaking
right.
directly to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I had started the business back in, 1999, 2000. And, you know, one thing about business and vision is that it comes from you. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter what life it throws at you, that business comes from you. So if you have to step away from it for a second and regroup and reshape it, or it evolves as your experience evolves, that's what you learn to do. And so my business was called the Inside Out Company at that time, and I didn't realize when I started it that the Inside Out is all about becoming who you have been created to be from the inside out, learning to live authentically from the inside out. And it's amazing how when I started that company, that I didn't realize that I wasn't living authentically, that I didn't really know who I was, that I wasn't the person that God had created me to be, because I had allowed my life situation and my life circumstances to shape who I was. And so as it evolved, I started teaching young ladies about living from the inside out. And as I taught them, I was actually teaching myself, and it evolved, you know, and no matter where I went in the world, I would take that company with me, and several other businesses have evolved as a result of that.
I love that. As you taught others, as you empowered other women, you taught yourself, and that's a great point, and the importance of sharing your pain with others. And I recently have talked to someone about this very situation, that your pain and your struggles are your greatest gifts, your golden nuggets in terms of being a compassionate, empathetic listener and support person to another woman coming along. And so often when women are trying to rebuild their lives and have come out of that brokenness and that place of brokenness that you mentioned, they have so much grief and shame from what they've lived through, and yet if they're reminded that those struggles and those experiences and their worst things that they face down become their greatest gift to then be a teacher and help others. And I also love the living authentically. So what are some ways and some things that you some tips that you share about ways to live authentically? What does that look like?
Well, on the very last page, actually the very last chapter of my book is called Lessons in Letting Go. And when I start off that section, Lessons in Letting Go, I take the reader to the book of Philippians. And I ask a specific question. I say, you know, why is it important to let go of past hurts and disappointments? Why is it important to forgive even your enemies? Why is it important to let go of the seemingly good things in your life that in all actuality don't really matter anyway? It's important because letting go frees you to fly. And over my lifetime, I've had to learn to let go of pain, to let go of disappointments, to let go of all of the weights that I've been dragging along that were actually hindering me from becoming my authentic self, that were actually hindering me from seeing through clear perspective, because your pain actually shapes the way you see the world. If you've experienced hurt and distrusting relationships, then you always walk around being hurt and distrusting. But if you allow yourself to go through the process of healing, then you'll actually begin to see through healed eyes. And so in that last chapter of my book, I take the reader through that process of being restored, of being made whole, of being in a place of total surrender so that I could be healed. And one of the first lessons that I learned is how to love myself. I had to learn how to love myself. I had to learn that I was beautifully and wonderfully made. And I had to begin to understand how God sees me. And I had to understand the love of God. And through that, then I began to just emulate that, not only in my own life and with my children, but to the other people that I experienced or encountered in my life. And so I always encourage people that if you really, 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 really want to finish well, you can't lose sight of the big picture. No matter what you've been through, no matter what pain you've experienced, there is purpose in it. There's purpose in it. But if you don't go through the process of healing, you'll never discover what the purpose is. You'll always stay stuck.
Mm. And so so many times, women and men, but people that have gone through pain and have lost trust in others or have a trouble with intimacy or closeness or whatever, being vulnerable, how do they do that without support? I mean, they need a support system. I mean, what do you think? How does someone reach out and find the support if they're being somewhat isolated?
Yeah, it's very important to reach out and find support. So, of course, I'm a big advocate for therapy. Therapy is very, very key. It's very, very, very important. Also, family support. There's somebody in your family who you should be able to reach out to and be very transparent and very open. One of the things I had to do is I just began to pray and ask for the right people in my life, because sometimes you think that people are there for you and that they're really supportive, but they don't really know how to support you because they're just as hurt and just as broken. So it's almost like two wounded people try to help each other, or codependent relationships that are also very unhealthy. And so I had to begin to pray and ask for guidance on how to find the right people to support me in my healing journey. And when I did that, I found the right people.
Mm. Fantastic.
And writing also.
and writing and journaling. Did you journal through this whole process?
I did. Actually, this book is the product of a lot of my journal entries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. I love that. And so if for someone who's never journaled, I mean, I'm just thinking of some members of the audience might be listening today or to the archivable podcast of this program, how to get started journaling. And the benefits that come from journaling. Let's talk
Absolutely.
About that.
Yeah. Well, basically all journaling is your words on paper. How do you really feel about a situation? Whether it's pain, I have journals that have tear stains in them. How do you feel getting it out? I have letters that I've written to my stepfather, the one who killed my mother and stabbed me all those times, that I've had to write over and over again about how I feel about him taking my mom. Not necessarily just about what he did to me, but what it has done to me, the fact that I don't have my mother and I did not have my mother growing up as a child. Life experiences that really hurt you, if you can't talk about it, write about it. Write it down and get it out. That is so, so, so important. Even my children, I teach them, if you can't say anything kind right now and you're too angry to use your words, write it down, and then we'll talk about it later.
I love that, teaching kids to journal at a young age.
Absolutely.
How important. And so I think, you know, you look at all these terrible school shootings and all these things, violence that's happening in the schools, and, you know, boy, what would happen if these kids were taught to journal and to get their feelings out and have a place to process some of that? That's usually they're numbing their feelings, or they're just numbing out with video games or who knows what. You know, of course, drugs and alcohol play a role with that too, with numbing out. But, how did you avoid numbing out with substances? So many women that do go through abusive situations, have addiction issues.
Well, two things. Let me go back. When you talked about journaling, I was very fortunate to connect with an organization called Sister Keeper Empowerment Center, which really advocates for youth journaling and youth poetry and speaking and actually circles with girls. And that organization gave me an opportunity to go out to schools in the community and begin to teach on self-love and loving your sisters. People who you go to school with every day, and women in your community. And so that really, really helped me go through the process. But if I can be very transparent and honest, I did numb the pain a lot of times because I hadn't reached a point of consciousness that there were other options for me. So a lot of times people experience the numbing of the pain through the drug addiction because they don't feel like they have another way. They're silencing the pain. They're silencing the voices. They don't have a way out. And so a lot of times what people do is isolate. They withdraw from people because they don't think that people will understand, or they fear that they'll be judged or misjudged. So it's important that we create environments and communities that really support people in a loving, nurturing, whole, and healthy way, that people feel like there is a place of refuge that they can actually come to. And then when they come to that place of refuge, that they're actually given the tools in order to heal, that they're given the tools to be successful. And that's what I'm finding, that there are not enough organizations that do that. And we need more of them. There are some powerful ones out there, but we need more of them. We need safety zones. We need places where people can come to actually be whole and healed.
I love that. Wow. And so what organizations do you work with now? Do you have any that you're involved with on a regular basis?
Not at this point. One of the things that I did last year and the year before last and the year before that is I started a benefit program called For Our Daughters and Sons, Breaking the Cycle of Domestic Violence Through the Arts. And we're in the development phase of how we're going to be reaching out to the children of individuals who are currently in domestic violence situations, or they've actually experienced that in some magnitude in their life. So right now, I am quietly working with a couple of organizations through some collaborations, and we'll be anxious to introduce that to the community closer to the month of October during Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So stay tuned
fantastic.
For those details. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have you back on in October to talk about that. So October is Domestic Violence Month, and you did hold this benefit this past October. What exactly happens at this benefit?
Oh, wow. It's youth coming together to present healing art. So everything from spoken word poetry to dance to singing. Of course, I do a music set in that as well. But one of the things that we're wanting to add is the visual arts aspect. So we did have a visual artist that was there. She'll be working with us this year to develop a more comprehensive program before the month of October. And so basically what we're doing is we're presenting education, we're presenting awareness, but we're also inspiring through creative arts as well. So it's designed to create a healing experience for individuals who might show up who are currently dealing with domestic violence situations. And we also rattle off statistics, of course, throughout the concert as well, and also try to create a safety zone for those individuals who are in need of support.
So it's not only entertainment and community and coming together, it's the awareness and education piece so that if someone is actually in the audience currently going through a domestic violence situation, they might be inspired to reach out, get help. And I know that happens at the Safe Connections events. There's always somebody in the audience that will call the week following and will have heard the story. And that's the importance of storytelling, and that's why I so encourage people to share their story, whether it's in book format or blogging or coming on a radio show with Blog Talk Radio, to share their story, because it will inspire and help someone else to break the cycle or reach out and get help and know that they're not alone. So tell us more about what's in the book, The Endurance Ride of a Life. Lighten the Load is the subtitle. I like that. So it's as you go through life, you're gathering these painful experiences, but you're also finally letting go and lightening the load by not carrying it with you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest part. So basically what I do in this book is I share my experience. I share the lesson learned from that experience. And I share the process that I went through to get from there to a healed place, a whole place. And so it's a little book of nuggets, a little book of wisdom, a little book of experiences that are very personal, but it really gives individuals practical tools to kind of move from that pain into a place of healing. So that's the Endurance Ride of Life.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. We're going to have a little station identification and PSA moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. Our guest today is Chai T. Mathias, author of The Endurance Ride of Life, and she's also an inspirational speaker and songwriter and vocalist. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be back in less than a moment.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com. and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member? Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault. Access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Frazier. Our guest today is Ty T. Mathias, singer, songwriter, and author of The Endurance Ride of Life, a wonderful little booklet that will inspire you, will take you through some painful experiences that the author experienced, but will leave you feeling uplifted and hopeful about your own life and about surrendering and letting go of your pain and your hurt. So let's talk about your journaling, Chai, and because you do share some parts of your journal, like fasting. Let's talk about the spiritual practice of fasting.
Talk about the spiritual practice of fasting. Well, a lot of people, when they think about fasting, they automatically see it as a period of time going without food, and a lot of people will fast to diet or, fast to, for whatever purposes. But my purpose for fasting was to draw closer to God, was to begin to hear Him clearly for myself, was to begin to strengthen my spirit, so that I could overcome some of the painful cycles that I had been experiencing over and over again, like I mentioned in the very beginning of the show. When you finally get to a place where you're like, enough is enough, but I can't figure out how to get from here to where I really need to be, there are certain steps that you need to take. There are certain people that you need to connect with. There are resources that you need. But if you've got chaos and turmoil going on the inside of you, then you won't be able to hear clearly. You won't be able to get the direction that you need to go. So you'll almost feel like a ship that's just kind of tossed to and fro without a sail. You won't really know. You'll be listening to the voices of other people and people telling you you should do this and this person telling you you should do that, instead of getting to that place of quietness again and hearing from the Most High, the one that created you in the first place, the one that knows the purpose and the plan that He has for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 specifically says that He knows the plan, the thoughts that He thinks towards you, plans to give you thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But if you don't take the time to fast and to pray and to draw in and to seek His face daily, then you'll never know what that plan is. And so many people are looking for the 5-step plan, the 10-step plan, the 7 steps, the this. They're going to conferences. They're doing all these things instead of really going to the divine source that created you in the first place. And so that's the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting is to deny yourself and to take on a posture of seeking Him in prayer, seeking His face, so that you can get the instructions for your life. He has the manual. Nobody else has it. He has it. And so you begin to get those divine downloads by spending time in His presence, by spending time in a place, in a posture of prayer.
I have to chuckle because there's so much similarity in the words of wisdom spoken by many of my guests. When you said divine downloads, my guest Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, talks about getting out in nature for walks, 2-3 times a week as much as possible for that divine download. And she also talks about journaling. She calls it morning pages, where you write every morning 3 or 4 pages, whatever's on your mind and your heart. And then when you go out for your walk, you're basically receiving inspiration and, like you said, the divine download. That was a great way of putting it. And, you know, through what are some other ways that you can find balance in your life, or, you know, ways you tell women to seek and find balance?
Mm-hmm. Exercise is another one of my favorite ones. I was just on the phone with another amazing friend of mine who is a fitness expert, and I was sharing with him that through this transition that I just recently went through, one of the first things to go was my physical fitness, and I couldn't figure out why I was so off balance and tense and stressed out. Even though I'm still praying, I still feel like I'm off balance, I'm off kilter. Well, it's because I'm not exercising. And so exercising is very important, and a lot of people say, exercise, I have to go to the gym. But you just mentioned that you had a previous guest who takes walks in the park. You know, walking is a form of exercise. You know, so taking the steps instead of the elevator is a form of exercise. And so that would be another way that you can find balance. It's a spirit, soul, and body balance. So you have to have the perfect balance of all three.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes, I was just talking to a friend of mine, Claudette Taylor, down in Lake Ozark, who's going to be starting a new organization, I think called Inner Spirit. You know, with that same principle, that it's the mind, body, and soul all working together in harmony. And if you're neglecting one, like you were saying, if you're neglecting your body, then that's going to be out of whack. You're going to feel more sluggish. You're going to feel less alert. You're going to have less mental focus. And, you know, or there are people that exercise regularly and never take time to meditate and pray. So it's doing a little bit of all three areas, paying attention and seeking balance through nature, through prayer, through getting quiet, getting still. And so talk about distractions, because one of your chapter it deals with, you know, how to avoid distractions and detouring around them. People have distractions, people that are trying to accomplish goals and build businesses. So what do you say to them about minimizing distractions?
Well, I think to minimize distractions, you just have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. You have to be very focused. And you have to live a life of discipline, because distractions are everywhere. I mean, there's things going on even around me right now in this moment that I'm doing this interview, but I am very focused. I'm very intentional about staying present in the moment. When we gathered for Thanksgiving, one of the rules, I actually was the host for Thanksgiving, and one of the rules I had for my family was that nobody could have their cell phones out during dinner. You know, that's
good
one. Time that we've gathered together to chat and talk to each other. You know, we've become so disconnected that when we're together, we can't connect. So just being very intentional and being very caught in the moment, so to speak. And so one of the things that I've had to do is to live in the moment again. We've gotten away from just living in the moment and experiencing life in the moment. There also are a lot of things that come at you. Every good opportunity is not a God opportunity. And so one of the things I've had to do is just to pray and say, is this opportunity for me? Is this the direction that you want me to go in business? Is this the direction you want me to go in life? Is this the city you want me to move to? You know, so I've had to get to a place where I've been very intentional about asking him for instructions. And then once I've gotten those divine downloads and those instructions, is to ask him to help me to stay focused on the plan, stay focused on the purpose that he has for me, and not to be distracted by the things that are coming to steal me away from that path or to move me off of that path, because things come every day to do that. But you have to be very determined, very focused, and very committed to where it is that you're going, like writing this book, for instance. It's a very small book. It's a quick read. But in order for me to complete it, I had to be very intentional. I had to be still. I had to withdraw from things and from people in order to finish it. You know, so that's the only way that you can do it. The only way you can do it.
So now that you've accomplished this goal, and what's your plan now? Are you focusing on speaking to various groups, and you know, taking the book out on the road and getting the message out further?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very open to speaking further. I'm very open to refining my message and working with coaches to refine my message. I'm refining my writing skills. I plan to work on another book and refine that as well. So I'm open. I'm still in the midst of the process. I'm still in the midst of the journey. This book is just the product of an act of obedience. It's not, you know, about it being perfect. It's not about saying you've got to have it all together and you've got to have it all right. I just did it. I stopped making excuses. I wanted to be unstuck, and I just did it. And what happens is as you just do it, then God refines. He opens the doors. So I'm open to wherever the journey takes me next. I just want to be found in his perfect will. That's it.
So, and what else is on store for 2014? You are a vocalist and a singer-songwriter, so are you performing anywhere in the coming months?
Yeah, sometime in the spring there'll be a jazz concert that I'll share with you. So we're looking at doing a jazz concert in the spring, looking at releasing a new CD project this year as well, and, of course, a new book towards the end of the year, maybe around October. So we'll see. There's lots of things that I'm focusing on in the area of singing, songwriting, and speaking. So that's really my lane that I live in, and that's the lane that I enjoy being in.
Wow. Now, when you say CD, is this your first CD? Will you be collaborating
with
other people?
No, this will be my second. Yeah, this will be
second
my second CD project.
Now, we didn't talk about the music. Let's talk about the music. So,
yeah,
what was your first CD called?
The first CD was called Divine Transformation, His Grace, My Testimony. And so everything I do is self-published. A lot of people wait to get a record deal or get discovered by somebody that has all this money or, you know, to get a publishing deal. But there's a lot of things you can do on your own if you would just research. And so I self-produced and published and promoted my first CD project, same thing I'm doing with the book as well. And now I'm looking to collaborate with other individuals to kind of give that creative direction that I need for this new project. So I'm very open to being teachable this time around. Even with the new book, I'm very open to being teachable to do this thing even better the second time. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the opportunities that have been presented to me. I'm excited about the coaches and the mentors that I have surrounding me that God is using as tools to shape and refine my process. So it's been very, very exciting.
And so is your instrument the guitar, or what? Do you have an instrument, or are you mostly just a vocalist?
My instrument is my voice. The guitar is the instrument that I'm learning to play.
Okay.
It's the instrument that I'm learning to play, but my instrument is my voice.
Okay, yes. I saw a picture of you with a guitar. I guess that's why I thought you played guitar. But you are learning it, and your instrument is your voice, and your instrument is certainly your pen and being an author and sharing your message. So where can people find you online? I know you have a Twitter handle, and that's really clever. It's chai underscore like the T. Chai underscore like the T. So C-H-I underscore like the T is her Twitter handle and website, chaitmathias.com. Where else can they find you online?
Wow. They can also find me at Inspired, I-N-S-P-I-R-E-D, Soul. music.com, of course, chaitmathias.com. My Twitter handle and my Instagram handles are the same. It's chai, no A, underscore like the T.
And when you said inspired, is it inspired soul music?
.com.
Oh, okay. InspiredSoulMusic.com. And that's your own production company?
It is.
Well, fantastic. Let's talk about self-publishing because there are a lot of listeners that follow my show that do want to self-publish their own books. How did you go about the process, you know, finding cover art and doing the layout for the book is also another whole big process.
Well, there are several tools that are online available to you if you want to Google those resources on self-publishing. There's several tools that'll pop up to help you with that. the fortunate thing that I also had is relationships and friendships with people who do copy editing and could assist me with that. I hired a couple of graphic designers to kind of help with designing the cover and logos and things like that. So, you know, if you ask the right questions, a lot of times the things that you need will just come right to you, which is one of the reasons why I'm a big advocate for prayer and fasting, because sometimes you don't know what questions to ask and you don't really know what you actually need. But if you spend that time, you get the divine downloads and then you get the instructions and everything you need just falls right in your lap. It's amazing what happens when you do that, you know. And Google is an amazing tool that we all have that we can use. And so when you Google things, you find the resources that you need in order to complete the task that you have before you.
Mm. So what would be your advice to, you know, someone who's starting out on their journey as a creative artist? Where would they go for support for someone who's wanting to perform as a singer or songwriter?
Well, I would say to first start off with your church family, if you're connected to a church family. If you live in a community where you might have an arts community, I would say reach out to that arts community and begin to just be mentored and to begin to be shaped and begin to ask questions, and then those doors will just begin to open for you.
So who inspires you? Who keeps you motivated and moving forward?
God inspires me and motivates me and keeps me moving forward. And, of course, my friends, my very close friends. I have a very intimate circle of friends, and my family and my children.
Oh, yeah, they must be all grown up by now.
Yes, they are. They're 8th and 9th graders, yeah, now, so they're amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I guess I don't know what else to talk about. We've seemed to cover so many different things, and you've got your book out. We want to make sure people do, again, hear that title, The Endurance Ride of Life, and you have some speaking engagements coming up. And if people want to reach you to book you as a speaker, they should go to your website. Is that the best place to start?
Absolutely. ChaiTMathias.com is the best place to start. Also, if you are interested in purchasing the book in ebook or purchasing it through Amazon, you can purchase it through Amazon.com as well. Just type in The Endurance Ride of Life. You can download it to your Kindle.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that I love having all those options of different formats. So, well, this has been lovely, and you know, you are just such a passionate person. There's so many different things you could continue to do. Is there any national program that you'd like to be on? And what's your big audacious hairy dream?
Oh, wow. You know what? I really don't have one. A couple people have asked me that question. I don't really have a big audacious hairy dream. I just want to be in the will of God, and I say that from the bottom of my heart. I am in a place now of just complete peace and joy, surrounded by friends and family, and I'm in a very healed and a very whole place. And so to be in that place and to stay in that place is the best place in the world to be. If doors open and things happen for me, great. If they don't, I'm content right where I am. So don't really have any desire for anything more, to be very honest.
Oh, well, that's contentment. That's called contentment for sure, and serenity. Well, we thank you so much, and we hope we'll be hearing more from you as you approach your new CD project, and with October Domestic Violence Month, that keep us posted about those benefits that will be happening, and we'll get those out and promoted. We're going to close with your song. Again, the song is called Redemption. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's the story behind the song, how you wrote it, or what inspired you to write it?
I didn't write it, actually. It's a Redemption song is a very, very old song by Bob Marley.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very old song by Bob Marley. And when I did my EP project way back in 2007, almost 7 years ago. Look at that. That was the song that I wanted to have as my opening to the project, because everything I sing about, everything I talk about, everything I do is all about being redeemed. It's all about redemption. It's all about starting over and finishing strong. And so that's what Redemption Song is all about.
Wow. Well, we're going to close with that. And hopefully maybe we'll have you come and speak to the Women's Power Networking Power Lunch this year. And I do want to give a shout-out to that group. If people do not know what it is, it's womenspowernetworking.com. It's a national organization, about 30 chapters, expanding across the U.S., started in the East Coast area, and a wonderful organization to uplift, inspire, empower women, and to provide women with a supportive environment for their dreams and for their businesses. So thank you so much, Chai. You have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much.
Oh, pirates, yes, they're rabbi. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption song. Yes, all I ever had. Yes, all I ever had.